A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." He ran around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. His fame spread to all of Syria, and they brought to him all who were sick with various diseases and racked with pain, those who were possessed, lunatics, and paralytics, and he cured them. And great crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. In today's Gospel, Jesus takes over the mantle of John's ministry of repentance, a vital message that was preached throughout salvation history, a crucial message for our own salvation. However, we all know that the power of words, and that some words can completely turn a person off. They become blind and deaf to its meaning. I believe repent is just such a word. For older people, it raises a sense of guilt that pushes against an anger that the church has no right to tell me what to do when it doesn't even seem to be able to repent itself. For younger folks who have grown up being told that they and everything they do is just wonderful, they have no clue how the word repent applies to them. I suggest that we find a new language to address this need, and we all have it, to repent. Imagine Jesus saying to us, "Get real, people. Embrace your authentic self." Don't you think that this language would appeal to people today? It is a more positive approach, away from what we should turn away from and towards what we should look forward to. Being real and authentic imply that one be who one was created to be. The reading from Daniel that we pray on the first Sunday during the Divine Hours gives a litany of God's creation followed by the words, "Bless the Lord." So when ice and snow, nights and days, mountains and hills, creatures wild and tame, are their authentic, real selves, they praise and exalt God. Just doing and being what God wants us to do or wants them to do is praising God. "Let the whole human race praise the Lord," says Daniel. So being fully human is God's desire for each of us. There's a funny Snickers commercial that has been airing lately. A man is leading an aerobics class and doing it very badly. He's clearly uncomfortable doing it. A friend dressed in a football uniform gives him a Snickers bar. And when the first man swallows a bite, he changes into a person wearing a football helmet or uniform, and now is clearly more comfortable in his own skin. The message? Eat a Snickers and you will be who you were really meant to be. We really are meant to be fully authentic and real human beings. So what does this look like? We continue to celebrate the birth of the one who epitomizes what an authentic human being should and can be and do. Jesus' life is a model for being real, and we can imitate him in our own efforts to be real. I feel that we Christians have been particularly blessed that God has made it very clear through the personhood of Jesus what it means to be fully authentic. As we move through the Christmas season into ordinary time and then Lent, let us be more aware of what an authentic person should be, and let's focus our efforts on being real.